today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I'm hot, sicky, sweet, from my head to my feet.
All right, it's time for a Rockin' the Suburbs sports break here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. Patrick Foster is out today, but I have with me our bracket analysts, Bill Mulligan. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. And Jason Goble. Hello, Jason.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, so what we're talking about here is 80s album madness. Every day on our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/suburbspod. Every day there is a new matchup of two 80s albums pit head to head, and you can vote on those, and then we have a winner and they advance to the next round and so on and so forth until we get down to an 80s album champion. So what we're going to talk about today are results from the sales quadrant, the sales bracket, 16 top selling albums from the 80s, and we'll go through how they fared against each other. There, you can vote today and in the subsequent days in the critics quadrant. Those matchups are already underway, but we're going to recap what happened in the first round in the sales quadrant today here. So let's just start here with the number one seed. That, of course, was Michael Jackson's Thriller. And Thriller beat ZZ Top Eliminator 73-33. Insert your Eliminator jokes here.
No. Sure. That car, those beards, one of the most iconic symbols of the 80s. But then you're going against probably one of the most iconic artists of the 80s. So unfortunately for ZZ Top, you got paired against Michael Jackson. I think you may have done better against some of the other albums in this bracket, but you had a tough draw against Michael Jackson at the end of the day.
Yeah, 34 million Michael Jackson fans can't be wrong. So
there you go. All right, let's move on to the number two seed. That was AC/DC's Back in Black, which ousted number 15, Van Halen's 1984. This one was closer. The score was 59-45.
So I commented that when I woke up that morning, I had every intention to vote for Van Halen. I ended up having some time in the office, so I put on both albums back to back. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think I had to go AC/DC. I think it's the stronger of the two albums, you know, and that's irregardless of the fact that it sold more. I just, from top to bottom, I think Back in Black is the stronger album, which is why I ended up going with Back in Black.
Yeah, there was certainly in the Facebook comments a lot of angst about having to make this choice, so.
Yeah, I think anybody who grew up in the 80s and was into guitar rock, these were both albums that people would have had and enjoyed. And to have to pick one or the other was difficult, but that's what's going to happen a lot in this tournament. So, especially as it progresses. It just so happened in the matchups, that one fell in the first round. Okay. Moving on to the number three. Now, these are very different albums people got to choose from, and yet there was still a lot of angst, maybe in a different way, maybe just reflections on how they feel about this one particular band that won, but nevertheless, it did win. Number three was Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction. Went up against number 14, Madonna's Like a Virgin, and Madonna did not have much of a chance here. The final score was 74-30.
So one of the things that was interesting about this one, and it was something I was thinking about, that 80s, you know, the 80s may have been when music started becoming more polarized at the end of the day, meaning, I guess, people, you know, either loved or hate something. I only say that because this was the first one, I think, and I'm sure it happened in the 70s bracket, and I'm sure it happened in the American music band bracket, but this is the first one I remember where the comments were just so strong. If you either, if you absolutely dislike something, Bill, I don't know if you want me to recite your comment or not.
Go right ahead.
Okay. So Bill's comment, just as an example, was, rest of the album has the musical and lyrical sophistication of a group of angry 13-year-olds who just learned how to play their instruments.
That's Appetite for Destruction, of course.
Yeah, and that was Appetite for Destruction.
The big three songs were fantastic. I mean, iconic, but I didn't care for the rest, which is why I voted for Madonna. But there was a lot of strong feelings in the comments, specifically about Guns N' Roses.
Yes.
And I know for me personally, like with this bracket, I for the rest of the brackets, I'm not sure if I'm going to be voting this way. But for this bracket in particular, I was voting like with what kind of was in my ear holes back in the actual 80s. And this album, you know, not only at every sort of college party I went to, I think somebody would end up putting on part of it. But in addition, like, our college hockey team was really good, and Appetite for Destruction was the soundtrack before the hockey team took the ice. So, as I said, it's got always a soft spot for me because of that.
Funny you say that, because I was just thinking that the numbers 2 and 3 seeds, both winners in this bracket, are both sort of jock jams, right? Because they're AC/DC. And Guns N' Roses are bands you pretty much hear at like every sporting event in some fashion. So, yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on this matchup? What about poor Madonna?
You know, in some of these categories, this one in particular, I'm a huge Madonna fan. Seen her a bunch of times in concert. So it was sort of painful voting against her, but I think somebody pointed out on Facebook, I can't remember who, but I don't know if this is even, you know, I don't even know if this was her, but I realized this was her best selling album of the 80s. I don't know if this is technically her best album of the 80s, like if this is the album I'm going to, which also kind of leaned me to voting for Guns N' Roses too, in terms of, you know, this is, admittedly, I think it was pretty much the only album they had in the 80s. If you know, Eliza was an LP, EP, right. But I think Guns N' Roses, it's their best.
Yeah. Okay. Move on here to the number 4 seed, also a winner. That was Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, defeating the number 13, Def Leppard, Pyromania. The score on that one was 91-30. Jason, you're a Bruce fan.
Well, here's the interesting thing about that, Jim. So I know your commentator did an episode where he kind of ranted and raved about Springsteen for about 15 minutes and seeing him live. I actually voted for Pyromania on this. I really hope I'm allowed back into the state of New Jersey. You know, again, I kind of put myself in my shoes as to where I was in the 80s, and Pyromania kind of stuck out to me. And, you know, ultimately, I'm sure with a lot of people, Born in the USA was their gateway into Springsteen. But for me, you know, I'm not necessarily reaching for Born in the USA if I'm putting on a Springsteen album. So I only say that because not sure if I'm going to be voting for him in the next round either. But we'll stick to that next time. Right. We ultimately get there.
All right, let's move on to the next matchup. That was number 5. Prince, Purple Rain, against number 12, Lionel Richie, Can't Slow Down. I remember there being some surprise that Lionel Richie sold this many albums to get into the top 16, but he did, If I look here, Can't Slow Down sold 10 million copies. So that was enough to get it into the top 16 for the decade. As a friend of mine said, Lionel Richie's going to have to go cry on a bag of money because he had no chance against Prince here. Purple Rain won 110-3.
So I think number one, the lowest vote total ever in this tournament. I'll say this in defense of Mr. Richie. If somehow he comes across this, Lionel, I was a huge fan. I remain a huge fan of you. I just could not vote against Prince. I have a feeling in your heart, you probably couldn't vote against Prince either. But I will say this, Lionel, notwithstanding the fact that you lost, and you lost badly, I do love you still. One of my favorite lines ever from a song. So, sorry.
Yeah, obviously, especially this quadrant with sales. So this represents music lovers of all stripes in this quadrant. But the truth is that the people who are voting in this, as wide ranging as our tastes might be, Prince pretty much probably shows up on all our lists. It's just not the music that we've as a group are probably prone to reach for. So, sorry, Lionel, but this wasn't your crowd.
Yeah, I want to say that Lionel might have not necessarily won in the first round, but done better with a different matchup. I mean, I think this was largely a reflection, too, of the love for Purple Rain. It's still today, it's an album that people, still listen to and still purchase and so on, right now, whereas Can't Slow Down, very much a product of its time. All right, let's see here. Number six. The people voting on our Facebook page didn't really take to either of these albums, I guess, if you read the comments, but somebody had to win, and that winner was Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet, the number six seed, with 51 votes, taking out number 11, Michael Jackson's Bad album, with 44 votes. Slippery When Wet. Into the second round.
I mean, the whole state of Louisiana abstained by reason of Kevin Clement. So, and obviously, other people didn't bring in their entire states, but basically, another great Bill Mulligan comment, can I just vote present at the end of the day? I actually own both of these albums still. A fan of, frankly, both of them. I think Slippery When Wet at the time, it may have come down to in 1986 or 87, I ended up seeing Bon Jovi live. I don't think Michael Jackson ever toured behind either Thriller or Bad. I know there was the Jackson tour, but so I ended up going with Bon Jovi. I will share a story. When I was in college, my freshman year, and we're doing freshman orientation, before the semester starts, they bring in a comedian. And I remember the comedian was talking for about a half an hour. And actually, it was that summer before I went to college that I went to see Bon Jovi. And he asked the group, is anybody here a fan of Bon Jovi? And nobody raised their hands. I was tempted to, but, relatively a shy kid, it was not going to volunteer unless I saw a bunch of people raise their hands. So even back in the 80s, I think Bon Jovi was pretty polarizing. But in an attempt, and it's not just an attempt to get back into the good graces of New Jersey, I am actually a Bon Jovi fan, and the Bon Jovi music that came out during this time and into the, I guess, early 90s.
All right. Well, I would say that when we get to the point of looking ahead, and we'll do that in another episode, I'll explain that in a bit, but when we get to the point of looking ahead, I think Bon Jovi is living on a prayer to move any further. Okay, but let's move on here. I'm going to skip this next matchup for a moment. We'll come back to it. I'm going to go to the 8-9. And here we have an upset, a small upset, but one nonetheless. Number 9, U2, the Joshua Tree, handily taking out number 8, Def Leppard, Hysteria, 101-15. Wow.
So, again, going back to my college days, that Def Leppard Hysteria album was basically, again, at every dorm party. The fact that the lyrics, "I'm hot, sicky sweet, from my head to my feet," still sticks in my head, is based on the fact that the amount of times I heard that song during my college years.
That's sort of your personal mantra, isn't it?
There, Jason? You go. Yeah. There you go. Hey, can you take sugar one more time? That having been said, look, it's the Joshua Tree. I mean, it's not only the album that kind of broke U2 into the public, that anybody who wasn't on the U2 bandwagon at that point became huge U2 fans. But it's still a great album. And, I'm going to be interested to see how far this thing goes. I picked it, in the preview to go to the Final Four. We'll end up seeing if it ends up getting there.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned before, this is me personally, I have trouble following a band for more than about 3 albums. I tend to get disinterested. And also, if there's a band I like and then they become big, I'm a small, petty person, and I tend to not like them as much when they hit it big. So I don't know when the last time I had listened to the Joshua Tree was. And then last week when I listened to it, I mean, just from the beginning to end, it was a great listen. It's just a fantastic album.
It is. It's a really complete work, which I think, when you think about what are great albums, that's definitely a consideration. I agree with that. Okay. Now, I saved the best for last here, guys. We're gonna circle back here to the 7-9. This was another upset. So this was the this would have been the lowest seed advancing out of the first round. That would be your number 10 seed, Phil Collins, No Jacket Required, defeating the number 7 seed, the Whitney Houston debut album. The score on that was not even close. 70-26, Phil Collins, and I believe that is what has made Patrick ill and why he is not here today.
The orange man still continues, or the other orange man, I guess, continues into the next round. I'll say this. I was kind of late to the party to hoots and stuff, so... And also to start a podcast. So I don't know when Mr. Patty started talking about his dislike of Phil Collins. I was a big Phil Collins fan in the 80s. So, yeah, I'm happy that it won. Whitney, that debut, she had a great voice. And I think some of the songs are great on that album. But for me, I apologize, Mr. Patty. Please don't take me off your text. Block my phone number. But had to go No Jacket Required here.
Yeah, I mean, I think Whitney, voice of an angel, but much like Lionel Richie, the music just isn't this group's cup of tea. So.
I'm going to circle back to something Jason said. A plea for Patrick not to cut off Jason here. Give Jason one more night. Okay. I'm just going to say, I was looking at the track lists for each of those albums, and I think the best song off of either of those two albums is Whitney's How Will I Know. I think that's just a really great, you know, pop R&B song. So anyway, that's just me. All right, so there we go. To recap here, the albums that will advance out of the first round are Thriller, The Joshua Tree, Purple Rain, Born in the USA, Appetite for Destruction, Slippery When Wet, No Jacket Required, and Back in Black. And we will talk about the matchups in the second round a little bit later in the podcast, because it's going to be about 3 weeks before anyone can vote on those matchups, because we got to get through the other three quadrants, and those are the Critics Quadrant, which is going on now, taken from the Rolling Stone 500 Greatest Albums list. So these are the next 16 albums they're the highest 16 albums on that list that were not already in the Sales Quadrant. And then we're going to have the Listener Quadrant. That is based on a listener poll that we did of Rock in the Suburbs listeners. And then we have the Hosts Quadrant. We'll finish up with that. Those are Patrick and my wildcard picks. And once we get through that whole first round, then we'll go back up to Sales and do the second round. So we will do a big round of 32 preview show when we get to that point. But for now, if you want to see the bracket, you can go to suburbspod.com and click on 80s Album Madness, and we update the bracket there. There's an article page, and then there's a couple of different brackets. There's the printable one you can see, but that one is not updated. You want to click on the online bracket link and go to the updated one there. Okay. And of course, vote every day. There's new matchups at noon Eastern every day at facebook.com/suburbspod. Thanks very much, Bill, and thanks very much, Jason.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk to everybody later. We will regroup again when we get through the first round of the Critics Quadrant. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. With me have been Jason Goble and Bill Mulligan, and we will talk to you later. And now, enjoy some Phil Collins.
Trying for so long to let you know how I feel. And if I stumble, if I fall, just help me back so I can make you see. Please give me one more night.
The fetal position helps if you ultimately can't decide how to vote. Yeah, just get in the fetal position for a few minutes and then answer will potentially come to you.